the buzzer. McCord on its way.
Oh my goodness!
They have to get it. There's no timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to the world's greatest podcast, better known as Courtside. And at D Square, an interesting, interesting weekend with the SEC Big 12. And I'll tell you one thing about it. Every game to me was competitive, fairly well played, great finishes. What was your biggest takeaway from the SEC Big 12?
Both leagues are really good. That was my takeaway. Both leagues, you know, we get into a habit of saying, well, this league's the best, and this year it's the Big Ten, or this league's not any good, and this year it's the ACC we get into. But, Seth, I did a game, Alabama and Oklahoma. I thought both teams were really good. I did. Then I'm watching Baylor, and you know what? Sharif Cooper didn't shoot it. Baylor did a great job, and I'm like, you know what? Baylor's great. Not good. Baylor's great. But I tell you what, Alabama's NCAA tournament team, now they're not going and all that kind of stuff. I just felt like both leagues have really good players. I'll also say this. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. Like the old, not old really, but the way that basketball has always had discipline and all that, it's a little bit out the window. Like, dudes are getting up and down, taking shots. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know if I like it or don't like it, but it's seemingly more wide open. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, there's definitely more wide open. And, you know, talking to some people yesterday, like I talked to Izzy yesterday, I think there's a couple of things. I think lack of practice time. I think trying to make it sound silly, make it a little bit more fun. I think that you're not going to be as good at executing team because you're not in the gym as long. So you might as well play ahead of the defense and try to get as good a shot as you can get as quick as you can. I think all those things come into conversation. Texas Tech's comeback against LSU. Incredible. And then they built on it and they beat Oklahoma last night. Something about that team has fun. And I was wrong on Mac McClung because I didn't think he would be a fit at all. And he is a fiercely competitive joker. And that three, that rebound that bounced to him, that he ran it out to the three-point line and jumped up. Like, there was no doubt that was going in. No different than the jumper he made against Texas. No different than the block he made last night. I didn't think he'd fit. I'll tell you the other thing about Texas Tech that intrigues me is that Terrence Shannon asked to come off the bench. He said, Coach, I'll come off the bench. I think I can bring something off the bench. And since he's done that, the guy's been terrific. Reminds me a little bit of Kelly Oubre. But Texas Tech has a spirit about him that I think is really, really unique. And you could see, like, they just do fun things. I mean, like, after the game yesterday, beers carrying dudes around the locker room. I don't know if you saw that video. It's, like, the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Yes.
I mean, and I think Mark Few said this a while back. This year, more than ever, you got to make it fun for these guys because it is their one escape. But I thought that one, and I thought Missouri's win. Who would think that Missouri would give up almost 100 points to TCU? Not exactly an offensive juggernaut. But they had the toughness to come back with Jeremiah Tillman might be the most improved player in the country because I didn't think he could play. And I mean, that guy is playing at a high level. He had 33 points in that game. And like, I don't know how many rebounds, double figure rebounds. I mean, he's been really, really good. Let's get back to Baylor Auburn though. Did Baylor's ability to just sit down and guard you and not have to overhelp to take away all those crazy assists that Sharif Cooper got. Did that give other people a more of a game plan? Similarly, that Lon Kruger did with Alabama by, obviously, Oklahoma doesn't turn it over, by not overhelping and staying attached, especially to John Petty. Do you think those two teams, I wouldn't say got exposed, but maybe people have a better understanding how to play them?
No. I don't. And I'll tell you why. The blueprint for Sharif Cooper was done the first game Sharif Cooper played against Alabama by John Petty. late in the game, John Petty got in the stance and kept Cooper in front, really moved his feet and gave him a little bit of room, made him shoot. It's one thing to try to keep a guy like Cooper in front of you because of game plan. It's another thing to go out on the court and do it. And I just don't think it's that easy. I think Baylor is a special defensive team, Seth. I really do. I think they're special. In Alabama's case, Seth, you and I, we talk about this a lot. There's a hell of a difference from watching a game on TV and being at the game. When you're at the game, you see the determination in guys' eyes, either good or bad. And being courtside and looking at Oklahoma's players, Lon could have told them to help off, and they would have got back to shooters. You know what I mean? I mean, there was such a determination, and it was like – what I thought was cool about it was there was a pride, like, yeah, okay, we're down. You know, Reeves didn't play. I don't give a damn. It's my turn. You know what I mean? I mean, and I don't think I would have seen that had I not been there. It wasn't just we're going to play well. We're going to do what Lon said. We're going to do all that, which was great. And by the way, you're probably right. Stay with shooters. Keep guys in front. You're in much better shape. However, Seth, I just felt like, God, they were so determined to – prove something in that game. And I thought that was very cool. I did.
He has that ability. We talked about it last week. He has a unique ability in a very understated manner to, because he's fiercely competitive.
Yeah.
Get guys to kind of the essence of just competing. Like, I don't care how you get guys. Some guys have to be screamed at. Some guys have to be
kind.
Yeah. Some guys have to be different ways. Like, his guys don't want to let him down.
You know what else, Seth? You know what else? I just let my dog in. First time I've ever seen this. Dog slipped and fell. It's kind of interesting. But anyway.
How can you fall?
I don't know. He just slipped, came in on a hardwood floor from the snow, and just slipped and fell on the ground. It's unbelievable. Going back to Lon Kruger last night, I'll tell you this. Lon Kruger, all right, they got beat last night. You're going to get beat once in a while. But damn, what an effort on 2 days rest or on a day rest. Saturday, go play on Monday, and they're down 10 late. Shoot, whap, whap. Next thing you know, it's 5. Whap. Next thing you know, it's 2. I just think I as we start setting up for the NCAA tournament, man, I tell you what, there's a lot of teams out there that can beat a lot of teams. And again, I go back to, we always say, hey, look, Big Ten's the greatest, ACC struggling. Man, there's some teams in that AC. Excuse me. There's some teams in that SEC. There's some teams in that Big 12 that can beat any of these teams.
We didn't talk Tennessee and Kansas. My take on Kansas is they can't protect the rim. They can't get to the rim. They get nothing easy. They don't have pros like they usually have.
That's the deal.
And it's not like the stuff they run, but they have not been good defensively. You know, early in the season, I thought they were taking stuff away from people. They were up and under people. Now people are absolutely lighting them up. And then offensively, I've never seen a Kansas team where they just, you know, they don't have the immovable object in Udoka. They don't have Dotson who got them in transition and got them easy baskets. They have to work so freaking hard to get an easy basket. Is it the NCAA stuff hanging over their heads? Is it, you know, they're just young at the point guard when they play the Harris kid? Is it, you know, when you lose Azubuki, you know, it changes everything a little bit? Hell, they've lost people forever, and it's been seamless transition. What's your take?
I just don't think they have pros. And I think that a lot of what we're seeing this year, and I don't know why they don't have pros, but I'll give you this. Who was it? Doug Gottlieb and I were talking about what's going down at Arizona. And he's like, you know, Dan, Southern California kids don't want to go. They're worried about all that stuff at Arizona. So now, you know, Miller had to go get foreign kids. Is it the same thing at Kansas? You know, I would be interested in the list of kids that Kansas missed out on because of all of this publicity. I think it'd be fascinating. Like, we don't really know. Guys, you know, the gurus in the media, they don't really know. But it would be interesting to if you could sit Bill down self and say, all right, How'd this one go? Well, you know, he didn't want to come. Because frankly, I believe we're seeing for the first time. I mean, think about this, Seth. First time we've seen Kansas struggle, not be any good, fill in the blank, whatever you want to say, fill it in. And we haven't seen that with Bill Self. You know what we've seen? Conference championships. That's what we've seen. And now we get to see LaPhonso Ellis, which is very exciting.
It doesn't get any better. Hey, Fonz in the box in the morning, Fonz in the box in the afternoon.
Glorious.
It doesn't get any better. Glorious. And he's got his background behind him. I mean, Fonz in the box has got the studio. I mean, he's got the studio background up for us. I mean, how come Fonz looks really good and Dockage will probably have to go to the bathroom in 5 minutes?
Fonz, if you don't see me, it means I'm hustling to the toilet.
Nice.
What I'm doing, Fonz.
You feeling all right?
I'm old and I eat some fiber, baby.
Oh.
Hey, Fonz is the only guy that could say when you say you might have to run to the bathroom. Fonz is the only guy. This is how nice Fonz is. He says, nice. That's how good a dude he is.
Yeah.
All right, Fonz, got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Tennessee, are they fixed? We've been talking the SEC Big 12. Tennessee fixed?
I'm not confident, Seth. Teams that get stuck on the offensive end just troublesome. Obviously, they can guard the basketball. Their half-court execution defensively, they seem to be connected. Eve Pons, of course, can block shots and erase mistakes that are made when guys are getting down the lane. But I'm still not confident. Now, they happen to be playing in the SEC, so that helps, right? But I'm not confident that they're fixed on the offensive end.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm disappointed in them, frankly, because I thought early in the year they were really good.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they were really good. I don't know if they're really good offensively. I just watched them and thought, you know what, Fonz, this team's really good. Yeah. I'm on a personal LSU ban. I don't like cheating. Yeah. I don't like lying. I don't like that bullshit.
Right.
But having said that, are they any good? What do you guys think?
It's interesting, Doc, because at times when I see them, they look really good. But then other times, defensively, they just don't guard anybody. And so they're a team that has to outscore everyone. And I'm not confident that they're good enough to be able to outscore teams night in and night out.
Yeah, I agree with you, Fonz. Hey, like, here's the deal on LSU. They got three dudes that are really, really good.
Yep.
You know, Thomas is really good. Watford's really good. Smart's mm-hmm. really good. That's great. Here's the deal. To me,
what's the deal?
The deal is that to me, you're going to get back, play really hard defensively and defend. Mm-hmm. They can't be compromised. It's plain and simple. They can't be compromised. So if they're compromised in terms of whatever, use your own imagination, then you're not going to be able to demand that they really, really compete. They look like a team that, you know, they're pretty skilled offensively. They're really, really athletic. They've got guys who can make buckets.
Yep.
But defense is optional because they're not demanded to defend.
Wait. If you're going to say it, we got to dive into it. What does compromised mean?
That's a great point. That was an illusion, Doc.
it's basically compromised means that they're not demanded. Or the coaching staff doesn't have the ability to demand that they compete on the defensive end for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at the smile. All right, let me break it down for you.
I'm not getting sued.
let me break it down for people.
Break it down.
Actually,
break it down.
Speak English, okay? Seth feels like when you make deals to get players, you can't demand of those players.
Mm. Compromised.
Because Seth, when I look at dudes, man, the only guy that really tries to guard, I feel, is Darius Days, right?
He's not as compromised.
That's a great point.
Hey, I got to go to something because this happened last night. Where are we at with Duke? You were getting bullish on North Carolina.
I am.
If Chris Likes doesn't play, which he didn't last night, you can't lose to Miami. If you're Bowling Green, you can't lose to Miami. What are we doing with Duke here?
Did you not listen to us last night?
No.
Thanks.
That's smart.
I was watching The Bachelor.
Oh, all right. So we said, Fonz and I said that, here's the deal. Your best win is Clemson, who is struggling. You have a win against Notre Dame, if I'm not mistaken. You've got a win against Bellarmine, not mine. I mispronounced it yesterday. I'm getting killed on Twitter. And you never get it. So I want to make sure I pronounced that right. I'll never get involved.
Bellarmine.
Kentucky Derby. So I had to make sure that was pronounced correctly. They're right in Louisville. But look, they're not an NCAA tournament team. They can't maintain an intensity. Here's the deal. I mean, so they played really hard and defended against Clemson. That's got to be who you are each and every day. I can live with making made and miss shots, but you know they're not guarding. Their shot selection was just fair. They weren't ready to play. They looked like a young, immature team that didn't understand that you've got to play every single night because if not, you're going to get whacked. Yeah. That looked like a pickup game in the South Gym at UNLV back in the
day. And it was interesting, Doc, because in the first half, Isaiah Wong could get anywhere he wanted to, on the floor. So they got dominated in the paint. So they were turning it over. Miami was getting transition baskets. And then in half court, Duke just couldn't contain the dribble drive, which they haven't been able to do all season long, right? And then second half, well, into the first half, they started to go a little 3-2 zone. And that kept them from getting in the lane. And then the second half, Miami started to knock down threes. I think they were 5 or 6 from the three-point line. But I said to Seth, when I look at this group, like when we think of North Carolina, we think of their bigs. They're going to pound it inside. Their bigs are going to get on the offensive glass. I try to stay away from coach speak, but I don't know what their identity is. Are they an inside-outside team with Matt Hurt? I don't know. I still think they're trying to figure that whole thing out. And that's dangerous when you consider the fact that the ACC is down this year and they won't have an opportunity to get any of those quality quad one wins going forward. They got North Carolina twice. They got to play Georgia Tech. They have Louisville. I just don't know where they go from here. And they're a young team. So I think the mental toughness aspect of it that you need to be able to kind of dig down and get some wins, I'm not so sure they have that, Doc.
Seth and Fonz, I did watch the first half, and I'm with you. Like, what is Duke?
But I got to tell you, at halftime, that's unbelievable. Watch the first half and then turn us off at halftime. That's what you do to your boy.
Hold on. I did watch your halftime, actually, now that I think about it, because The Bachelor didn't start till 8. I did watch halftime. Never mind. All right. To your point, Fonz.
Yep.
I was thinking about this yesterday. All right, I did the radio. Benetti and I did radio for Ohio State, Michigan State. And you know what hit me about Duke last night? It's the same thing that hit me about Michigan State, and they're two completely different teams. Michigan State's actually a little bit older. They're not old, but they're a little bit older than Duke.
Yeah.
The immaturity to win for these two teams. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They may be the most mature kids off the court, but when it comes to winning, when it comes to I got to do this, I got to get this done. Mm-hmm. Seth, you and Izzo are close, and is I guarantee you, he is struggling with that right there because they didn't have any insides. You know what I mean? They didn't have any gravitas. They didn't have any ass to them. I didn't
gravitas. Good word.
That's good. That's pretty good. It's early.
How long did you work on pronouncing that correctly? Because that was really good. I mean, you had a little good, you know, good.
I have a mother who's a school teacher, a father who was a school teacher. I took 30 days to a more powerful vocabulary. Fight me.
I talked to Tom last night, and you know, in talking to that, here's a couple things that I don't think we're talking about across the board. And like, he's not an excuse guy whatsoever. Like, he's
yes, he is. He's the ultimate excuse guy.
He's down on like just trying to get it right, and you know they're not executing, they're not screening. He's actually going to simplify some things to try to get him to play more instinct. But here's a couple of things that he said that's interesting that we don't take into consideration. One, he said for his guys, like he's got a couple guys that have not had the virus. I'm not going to mention the player's name. Like when they're testing every day. He said, and those guys that haven't had the virus, like when they get a test back and it's negative, like it's like a total change in their personality. They're like literally emotionally drained, waiting for the result. So the second thing is they've had a number of the players, and he's interested to see across the board in the country whose parents have gone through the virus. He said, and family members have gone through the virus. He said that it's weird, Seth. He said, even though our guys are in this sterile environment, when their family members get the virus, he said, you have legitimately, and they're having, when I say the virus, I'm not talking about asymptomatic. I'm talking about have gotten it and have gotten a little bit sick or severely sick. He said, it's like the kids have it with them. He said, the uncertainty, even just defining what's going on, their parents are older, they're in their 60s. They're not getting the medical care maybe that the players are getting. He said, that hangs on the guy's conscience. Like he said, and the last thing is, you wonder, how do you coach these guys? Do you coach them like you normally would? Or because of the virus, you're not in the gym a lot. You got to have certain things like watching film, and the individual meetings are eliminated. How much do you demand of these guys every day in the game, knowing like certain of them are really, really fragile? He said, I think that's something that we don't take in consideration. I didn't even think about like family members getting sick and the impact it has on players. Like as simple as, say someone gets really sick, and they have to go to the hospital. When they go to the hospital, those players can't see them, or they can't talk to them, or they can't, how do you get access to them? How do you know, So he says that's been the hardest thing, just knowing how much you can challenge and push and demand in a time where the kids are more fragile. What's your take on that, you guys?
Yeah. My thought is, and obviously never to be insensitive about it, but all of the kids are dealing with that. I have a kid, of course, playing D1 ball, and they're being tested regularly. And we've had his girlfriend's the point guard of the women's basketball team, and her aunt, who she's really close to, just passed away as a result of COVID. She was young. She was under 40. And so I think all the kids are dealing with it at some level. I agree with you, Seth. There's some fragility that comes along with it. But also my sense is, as I'm talking to each and every one of them, is that it's kind of their response is, it's what it is. We still have to be able to go out on the floor and execute the game plan and encourage each other and be there for one another in spite of all that's going on.
Yeah, I don't want to be insensitive either, but that had nothing to do with how they played. It's great. I get it, Tom's. It's either injuries or we're young. I get all that, but with Tom. But let's be honest. That didn't impact how they played.
He says they're playing crappy. He said, but his approach is a little bit different than it normally would be when they were playing crappy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, he looked to me, and I watch the bench. It's what I do. As soon as a play is made, I watch the bench, and not just him. I watch everybody. He looked to me, and this may be the reason. It may not be an excuse. It may be a reason, but he looked to me like I don't have a point guard, and I don't have a group. Langford doesn't know who he is. He's and I feel so bad for the kid because the kid is so hard trying, man.
Yeah.
You can just see he's like, man. In fact, I said it on the air. I just feel terrible for him because he wants to be what he should be. You know what I mean? Anything I say is going to be deemed as insensitive, so I'll just defer to Fonz. I'm taking cover with Fonz. Fonz says it's good, and it is. I suppose. I get it. My sister and my brother-in-law were very sick, mm-hmm. and – I get it. And I'm 58. So I just, forged on, called them. And I just had a very good friend of mine from the shoot, the time I was a little kid, die from it 2 days ago. And I get it, but I'm not buying. That's why they're playing crappy.
Fellas, how much did
it's a great philosophical discussion.
Yeah. How much did they miss the leadership of like Xavier Tillman?
Oh,
because when I look at that group, fellas, is they need an older dude who's been through some things, who's won, who can go, hey, fellas, this is what's going on, but forget all that. We need to, they don't have that guy. So I know they don't have Cassius, but if they had Xavier Tillman, I think they'd be a completely different team because I think mentally they'd be tough. And he, Coach Izzo wouldn't have to give them as much because now you have a player who's driving the intensity, the pursuit of excellence out there. Any good team that I've ever played on always had that guy who happened to be one of your best players who kind of set the tone in terms of work ethic and mental toughness. And they don't have that guy.
Yeah, I agree. And it's almost like that guy pulls everyone along with him. And I swear to God, I saw Xavier Tillman. I swear to God, I saw him do that numerous times. You know what I'm getting the impression of this year?
He's killing in the NBA too, by the way.
You know what I'm getting the impression of some of these teams? And this is maybe, this is the Coach Knight in me, because he used to say this all the time. You guys are just playing like you're Indiana players. You're not being Indiana players, meaning Duke guys are getting the benefit. I'm a Duke basketball player, but they're not playing how Duke basketball players have always played. Michigan State guys, I must have said this six times on a radio broadcast, didn't get on the floor. You imagine saying that about a Michigan State? You know, first to the floor was Ohio State. I got the impression that Michigan State guys, well, we're Michigan State players. We're Final Four teams. We're going to get better because we're Michigan State. We win the Big Ten because we're – well, those guys didn't. You understand what I'm saying? Hoggart didn't. You know, those guys haven't won the Big – and I see that across the board. Like I'm watching Duke and I'm like, there's not that Duke, you know, toughness. There's not that Michigan State, you know, grit. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I got this uniform on. So I'm, you know, I'm at Notre Dame. So I'm LaPhonso Ellis. Hell, you know, I mean, I got the uniform on. I'm Christian Leighton. Remember, I'm just as good as him. They're not playing like that. They're not playing like those guys, man. They're not playing like that at all, in my opinion, Fonz.
Mm. No, I don't think anyone would dispute that. I mean, that's why they're struggling the way they have.
And I'm not talking about only Michigan State. Yeah, I'm not going to cross it.
All those places, that's exactly the reason. And that's the why they are where they're at, is because they don't have that toughness. They don't have that grit. They don't have that competitive spirit.
Let me ask you this. Who does? Take Gonzaga and Baylor out of it.
I think Michigan, to me, does. But again, I look at Michigan, they're playing 2 point guards that are older. They're playing a guy with as good a floor game as anyone in Franz Wagner. I love Livers on and off. He's gotten better on the ball. He's really good off the ball. And they've got depth and the immovable object down low, especially on a low block. So, I mean, they've got that trait. Villanova still has it. They've been through COVID, but they still have it. It's unbelievable. I mean, and talking to Kevin Willard one day, he said they're just tougher than everyone else. They just work. They never have a bad day in terms of how hard they work. I mean, it's just the way it is. And you know what? You know, we were doing a McDonald's thing the other day. You know, it could be Archer Diacono, who's in the NBA. It could be Jalen Brunson, who was the Wooden Award winner. Now it's Colin Gillespie. They always have that one guy that, you know what, keeps everything together. I mean, he has the ability to keep everything together. I think Texas has it to some extent. I'm really interested tonight to see Texas. Texas doesn't turn you over. Baylor does. Mm-hmm. Texas is good defensively. They keep you in front. Texas's guards have been much improved this year. How are they going to be against the best guards in the country? I like this Texas team because I think they've had some grit and some grind and some ability to fight through it. I mean, look, Virginia Tech is winning because of that. Virginia Tech, because they have great personnel. Yeah. Virginia Tech is winning because they have a grit and a toughness, and they got enough different guys that can step up. I mean, who are the guys you think, Fonz?
Well, you've named several of them. I would add Iowa because Luka Garza is that type of guy. Now he happens to be uber talented, but he's that guy who sets the table in terms of relentlessness and toughness. I mean, now I don't know if I saw it right, Doc, but this dude got hit in the mouth, right? Mouth bleeding. This is last year. Mouth bleeding. This dude gets stitches. Didn't need any Novocaine to get stitches. You talking about tough? And he's got shooters all around him. And I give you one last team, what I think tough. They're undersized, but they compete on the offensive glass. Marcus Sasser is great. The Houston Cougars, they're tough.
Yeah. I disagree with you on Iowa.
I do too.
Until they win one of those tough games. Iowa and Illinois, I want to put in that group.
Yep.
I just want to see them. And I thought Illinois took a step forward. Like that was the battle of two teams.
Right.
I wanted to see who was going to bow their neck. Mm-hmm. I haven't when Iowa's been in those tough games, I haven't seen them make those tough plays. What do you think, Dan?
You're stealing my stuff.
And remember, CJ Frederick's out now. Come on now.
I told you way back.
But you also said the same thing about Illinois.
I said, well, okay, Illinois beat Iowa. Illinois beat Iowa. That's a big win. I mean, somebody I think Iowa has, you know, the toughest dude, but until I say this all the time, it's not the Big Ten is more about psychology than anything else. And Iowa hasn't won the Big Ten since 1979, and they've had big time players. And it was no surprise to me, and I didn't know it would be Indiana, but it would be somebody that came into Iowa City and beat Iowa. They quit in that game. Then they followed up with a tough grinder, you know, like Seth is talking about, against Illinois, and Illinois out-toughed them. I don't buy Iowa. I'm anxious to see if Illinois is, because Illinois has some guys, and they play at Indiana tonight. They have some guys, like Coburn. Man, that dude is a beast.
Yes, he is.
The Sumu is not afraid to go win you a game. Right. Like, he'll go – and Trent Frazier has been there for a long time, and Curbelo.
Yes.
I'm anxious to see, because Iowa already has crapped the bed. I'm anxious to see if Illinois does. And Indiana's playing poorly. It's a great matchup for Illinois, because the big guy – but two big guys can guard Jackson Davis.
Yeah.
And then you got all these other guys that can go make plays. The same thing kind of like Rutgers. But if I were going to add somebody to the list a week ago, and I'm throwing a sock at him, Taylor, throw a sock at him.
Am I allowed to throw socks?
Yeah. I'm throwing a sock at Virginia. I know Virginia Tech played them, but Virginia was my squad. Yeah. They were my guys. They were starting to
take it personally when your teams lose.
I'm throwing a sock at UVA. I thought they were coming with offense and the traditional toughness, and then they get blown out. Totally blown out. What I do?
Second half was a disaster.
Yes.
I'll tell you another one that I think has toughness. And you know, I think the hardest thing to do is to bounce back after you get punched in the face a bunch of times. I think Rutgers is getting
me too.
And Miles Johnson, that dude has toughness. He dunked on the whole Michigan State team.
He's also smart.
I look at them, and whether it's, Geo Baker, and this is without Mathis, who was playing really well early,
right.
Who's really struggling, who, in talking to their staff, says he's a great kid. He's trying to work his way back into it. But Rutgers, and I didn't back off him. Rutgers is a dangerous team, man. That's a dangerous team. Don't you guys think?
I'm not sure Geo Baker even has his legs under him yet. You know, I still think he's
pretty good the other day.
Yeah, he was good. No, don't get me wrong. But I think the real Geo Baker that we got used to last year, we're going to start to see that more 2 weeks. Because after you've had those injuries, it kind of, and you're out, it takes you a little while to get your legs under you. And I really like him.
Hey, can I circle back to one thing?
Mm-hmm. Circle back to anything. It's the world's greatest podcast, and you are part owner in it.
Rutgers to me is one of those teams that we talk about. You go through some ish, right? You go through some stuff. You come out stronger. All right. I'm not saying, and I've been critical of Michigan State, but I'll tell you this: down the stretch in the Big Ten, there are a lot of teams I'm going to want to play. A lot more than Michigan State. I got a feeling Michigan State at some point, because maybe it's just history. Like, maybe I'm thinking how players are thinking, man, we'll get better, we'll get better. But Michigan State, to me, and I'll tell you the other team that I don't think people are going to want to play, and I could be dead wrong. You guys will know better than this. North Carolina. For some reason, I think North Carolina in that ACC tournament is going to be a mother, I think.
Well, at least we know North Carolina is going to play in the ACC tournament because Roy came out and said not playing is for people that are quitters.
Wow.
What'd you think of that?
Well, I think it's great. And I think that, you know, obviously I think he wants to play in it because he understands the history and tradition of it. I think he also thinks his team could benefit from it in certain ways. And I do think that's the way he thinks. I mean, he's an old school guy that says, you know, if we signed up for this, then we need to go out and we need to, you know, we need to do it. This is in our contract. This is what we're supposed to do. Me personally, if I had a really good team, I'm not sure I would put my team in that environment. I mean, Florida State's shutting down for the next three games. So imagine if Florida State got that at the ACC tournament, then their season's over. So they went through everything they did during the course of the season to get to that point, and then they're done. Like, to me, I understand the money's crazy, and I want championship week because it's so good for us, and it's fun, and the finishes are unbelievable. I think that low and mid-majors should bring two teams, four at the most, to a semi-isolated site. I am not sure if I'm Gonzaga, if I'm the elite top 10 teams, I'm not sure I would risk it. And I think what we're going to see is if the low and mid-majors do say we're going to only take the top four teams, I think those other teams, you're going to see teams opt out. You're going to see players opt out. And if you see the players opt out, those are the guys that are going to be earliest on getting ready to put their name in the transfer portal and go to another school at every level. But it's good because then the games become exhibitions. They become bowl games. And if you're not in the college football championship, you're in an exhibition. That's just the way it is. So I like what Roy said, but I just think that's going to happen. Let's one last league before we get out of here. One last league. Is there a team in the pack that any of you guys are excited about?
I don't know that you want to play against Mick Cronin's team. I mean, I'm not saying they're uber talented. I don't, but you know, they're going to be hard to play against. I was surprised by this. I was surprised that Stanford was able to come back and beat Arizona. Like, and I watched the game and I thought to myself, these two teams are good. Not Arizona good. You know what I mean? Not wow. You know, my answer is no, but I'll tell you this. If you're going to give me a one-off in a tournament, I always think that Mick Cronin's teams are going to fight you to the end, tough as hell. That'd be about it. You Fonz?
Yeah, the team that I've had my eye on, Doc, is Oregon. And part of that is they've dealt with shutdowns. They've had a lot of injuries on the season. They were playing earlier without Will Richardson, who could flat out get buckets. Chris Duarte has been out. But Omar Rui is a difficult matchup at 6'6", and he's having a fantastic season. I think as that group gets healthier, I think I can trust them with one game getting into the NCAA tournament if they can get in.
Yeah.
So neither of you guys mentioned a team who's with probably the second or third pick in the draft in USC.
I know. I watched them set the
most. He's going to have UCLA this week.
I know.
Peter, they don't have a point guard. They've got Isaiah.
They don't give Mobley the ball, Seth. They don't give Mobley the ball.
He's gotten a couple more shots lately, so you guys are not buying USC.
Two. Two more shots.
Not buying USC. Stanford went from beating Arizona to losing to Arizona State. Arizona's fairly talented. Remy Martin's first game where he looked like Remy Martin. Oregon lost, I think, earlier to Oregon State, if I'm not mistaken. Or Oregon obviously has had all these injuries. They have maybe the greatest upside. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go through the league, is it shocking that a league, and, you know, we joke about, you know, Walton calling it the Conference of Champions, a league with that much money, I think we're missing the one team that fits the DNA thing. This is my opinion, Dan. I think Colorado has that toughness DNA. I've got Peter and McKinley Wright. Evan Batty's a veteran front court guy. They don't give up easy baskets. They do a pretty good job of taking care of the basketball. But they also have some bad losses. Like the league to me is more as perplexing as any league in the country.
I think that if, and a lot of teams could say this, so this is silly, but man, I wish Mobley had one more year in college. Like he's going to go to the NBA, he's going to get strong and all that. But man, I look at him like Bambi, right? He's like, you know, one more year weights and all that eating and all that stuff you do in college. I know he's going to do it in the NBA. I get all that. But I think if we were having this same conversation next year, if everybody in the country came back, all right, everybody came back, I'm not so sure we wouldn't say that USC and Mobley are a top 15, top 10 team, and Mobley's best player in the country. With one more year in college, with all the stuff you do, I'm not so sure he wouldn't be the best player in the country this time next year.
I'm not sure some coaches want their guys back.
I know some coaches don't want their guys back. Hey, somebody asked me this on a national show. How many of these Kentucky guys are going to be invited back?
Well, I was looking at the draft stuff. And these guys, the NBA draft guys have Clark, Boston, and Isaiah Jackson all in the first round.
There you go.
Now, let me ask you this. Am I an idiot? If a guy can't finish through contact, why do we think that dude is going to play through contact in the NBA? If a guy flat has a inconsistent release in college, or a guy shows that he melts on screens or he's not overly competitive. Like Isaiah Jackson, I can see upside. He can block shots, he can run, he's gonna get stronger. He's
right.
Is he New Orleans Noel? I don't know, but he's a freakish athlete. But I mean, I gotta be honest with you.
Well, Terrence Clark is at least tough.
All right. And then like BJ Boston, he's got a little shake to his game. But I mean, like, is there anything he does where I say, well, I'll tell you one thing, if the NBA is a league of role players. Well, that dude he can really do that. Am I way off on that?
Go ahead, Fonz.
Uh-oh.
I don't think so. I think you're seeing it well. And Doc, it's tough for me because, I asked him one the other day. So who's the fifth pick in the draft last year? You remember?
No.
2 years ago?
No.
I think it was DeAndre Hunter 2 years ago, right?
Yeah,
so I see DeAndre
Hunter playing really well right now.
Right? Who's playing really well. But I look at him, same age now, and I say, is that dude better than Bryant Stith from Virginia, who was the 13th pick in my draft in 1992? No, it's not even close. And so it was difficult. So to Seth's point about B.J. Boston, I do like Terrence Clark. But for B.J. Boston, I just don't see the excitement and the upside. And part of that is, you know, I would have had such great expectations for him coming into the season because he had been so hyped. And, you know, there's some things missing from his game. There's a physicality missing from his game. Doesn't really defend. And so I'm not sure I see him projected as a first-round pick even by today's standards.
I think the even by today's standards is the most interesting thing right there. Cause today's standards, man, I don't know. Like I talked to a couple GMs about Luka Garza. What's the difference between him and Tyler Hansbrough? You know, I mean, they both have huge numbers. They both did it the same way. They just bully up, you know, and they feel like Garza maybe has a better chance because he can score outside a little bit, can shoot it. Yeah. But I just don't. Yeah. I'm going to do this tonight. Mike Schmitz is going to join our broadcast for Illinois, Indiana. And I'm anxious to see, like a couple of years ago, he joined and everybody was telling me that Romeo Langford is the best prospect here, you know, in the Big Ten and all this. And I'm like, no, he's not. Jordan Poole is, because Jordan Poole can shoot the living crap out of it. I mean, that's.
Yes.
This whole NBA thing to me is potential. I understand it. I get it. Those people are smart. That make those decisions in that league. They're smart. I'm not begrudging them, but I don't see it with any of those Kentucky guys. I'm just telling you, man. I know that this guy, that guy, you could put Bowling Green on their shirts, and I'm not sure we're winning the match. Tell me.
All right. Hey, we're going to go away with this. Who's winning, Illinois, Indiana?
You guys go ahead. I'm not allowed to say, right?
Oh, you have the game. All right. Now, let me give you this before we get to that then, Fonz, before you make your pick. Okay. Your greatest rivalry when you played in college was?
I felt about it, UCLA.
So Digger and Coach made UCLA. That was the one.
Yes.
I snuck into that game when David Greenwood was playing against Notre Dame when I was a sophomore in high school. We drove a car over, bought a $5 counterfeit student ticket, and the guy at the gate tried to grab me. I threw an elbow, ran right in the student section, and walked into Notre Dame's locker room after the game with Tim Andre. Remember Tim Andre?
Yeah. Big old center from Detroit? Yeah.
Tim Andre was there as a recruit. And I walked right in, and I'm standing around there going, hey, this is pretty cool. Indiana was Purdue with a big second to Kentucky because, again, I always have a story. My first road game as a college player, I'm sitting at the end of the bench. It was at Kentucky, and I hear some woman, and she's dropping the big bombs on Coach Knight, the mothers, the low-life, you know, blank blankers. And I'm like, I'm sitting on the end of the bench looking with Cam Cameron, who ended up being the Miami Dolphins head coach. And I look, I go, Cam, what we got here? And I look, and there was a woman perfectly dressed. Like, I don't know what clothes cost, but she wasn't in a t-shirt. She was dressed with a mint julep, just MFing my boy. I thought to myself, now this is a rivalry I could get behind. But, but walking off the court, I've told this story before, walking off the court at Purdue my senior year in the first half when we were beating them and I collected 75 cents in change that was thrown at me. It doesn't get any better than that in my world, boys.
Yeah, I mean, look, North Carolina is, it's always good. And you know, one of the underrated, the only real rival, we have Virginia, Virginia Tech was a big rival. But when I was at Pitt, West Virginia, my favorite thing about the Pitt West Virginia rival, which is it's kind of hatred, is you had to figure out what tunnel you were going to come out from because the West Virginia students would be sitting there above certain entryways and tunnels with water. And like literally, if you picked the wrong one, you were getting doused with buckets of water. I mean, so like literally we would walk the underside of West Virginia Coliseum and we'd say, what do you think? You think this one, guys, as an assistant coach, all right, we're gonna go through number 7. And all of a sudden our guys would go, bam. And like, if we didn't get killed with stuff, it was like a win.
Yeah. Nice. You're already up to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a win. So we have we have the great rivalry this weekend, Carolina Duke, which means
for context, I just want to let the people know that the reason UCLA is because Notre Dame wasn't in the conference back then, and Digger used to really hype up that matchup.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Let me go back a second.
How was not Indiana a rival?
What's that?
How was Indiana Purdue not a rival? Indiana and Notre Dame had a rival.
Probably because we didn't belong to the Big Ten. That was a big game. And of course, Digger and Coach Knight were really good friends. And there was a lot of pomp and circumstance around that one. But internally, and how it felt for 4 years, that one didn't compare to the UCLA. We never wanted to lose, but if we lost to Indiana, it wasn't as big of a deal as if we would lose to UCLA. And, of course, that's probably started from what Notre Dame did back in the 70s with Walton.
You know what's funny about Notre Dame, Indiana? I always have a story. You come running out. Like, Fonzie, you'll understand it. You come running out, like, first game of my freshman year was Miami of Ohio, and that's a big deal. You come running out, and the crowd's okay. The second game my freshman year at home was Notre Dame, and it was a totally different feel in the building. Like, it was totally different. Like, I'll never forget later on in the year, Purdue came in, and it was totally different. You know what I mean? But in different games – you just literally run out there, and by the time you run from the hall to the entrance to get to the court, it's completely – by the time you get out of the entrance onto the court, it is a totally different feel to that arena. because it's a big game. It's a rival. I know that Duke, North Carolina is the preeminent rivalry. I would argue the preeminent hate rivalry is Kentucky, Louisville, because those people are certifiably insane. And I love that. But for games, there's nobody better than Duke, North Carolina. It always delivers. It just does. Mm. Always.
No doubt about it. Fonz, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Yes. You got to understand, Fonz's normal day when we're in Bristol is Fonz doesn't speak. He has a double turkey burger at about 11:30, which he has on order, which, you know, of course, everyone, you know, he can't hug everyone now. But I mean, Fonz is here. You know, they throw a party. They roll up the red carpet. Me, I show up. They go, it's over. Get out of here. All right. And then Fonz doesn't sleep. So he goes to sleep around 2 o'clock in the morning, wakes up like 11. So for us to get Fonz up early, I mean, and a time change, right? Fonz, you're an hour behind us, right?
No, I'm Eastern.
Oh, you're Eastern? All right. To get the Fonzer up early, and of course, Fonz looks like he's ready to go out on a date with his sugar. He looks so good. You had to run to the bathroom and look like, you know, you're a mess. I mean, I just got off the treadmill. So, I mean, Fonz brought a little dignity and class to the podcast today, let's say.
The only time I saw Fonz even a little disheveled, I think it was 2 years ago, we had to clear out the hotel at about 3 a.m. in Bristol. We had a fire alarm. It was a celebrity event. We had Fonz, we had Greg Shaheen, we had Farnham, and it was literally Fonz. It was the room next to mine. It was the room. Dude fell asleep with a candle, knocked it over. I looked out my door. I go, this is Beirut out here. This is what the hell? And then I go downstairs. And there they all are. They're just sitting there. And of course, Farnham wanted to talk. And I, 2 a.m. in a fire, I just want to sit in a corner and go, oh, shit. Let's get out. It's true. Thanks, Fonz.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys. I was honored.
Hey.
The great fans of Courtside, better known as the World's Greatest Podcast, or the World's Greatest Podcast, better known as Courtside, thank you for listening. Fonz was absolutely terrific. Wherever you download your podcasts, please not only download us, but rate us. And there's only one rating. When you're the World's Greatest Podcast, you're nothing mediocre, right? Mediocre doesn't count. So 1, 2, 3, 4 are not even a possibility. It can only receive a 5, so thank you for the 5.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.